seated. Pastor, would you come, please?
Amen. Okay, thank you, Bill. All right. Good morning. I'm going to ask Lana Spencer to bring her parents up here. And we have a baby dedication today, so we're going to dedicate Lana unto the Lord when they bring her up. I also want to welcome Monte de Sion, our Spanish congregation. They're in here. We're translating, so I will try to speak slowly. Awesome. All right, so this is Alex and Alec, and this is Lana, and we are going to dedicate her unto the Lord this morning. And here we have flowers. The white is for you, Alex. You are the mom God chose. And Alec, the red is for you. The blood of Jesus covers you as you cover your family. And then that little rose is for this precious little babe right here. And I'm wondering if she'll let me hold her. We'll give it a try. She's looking really fun at me. All right. Now, I prayed about what to say as we dedicate her. And God showed me this picture of Esther, Queen Esther. You can tell her about this later. She won the first beauty contest in the Bible. She's going to make that easily. But here's what I've prayed, that she could learn what Esther did. When Esther petitioned the king, he held the scepter out. And he listened to her request. And that's my prayer for her today, that she'll meet the king. His name is Jesus. And she'll never hesitate to come to him. And Alex, she'll learn that. If she can always come to you. And if she feels safe in your household and she can come to you and speak to her earthly dad, then she'll go to her heavenly king. Okay. So would you all hold your hands out and pray with me as we dedicate her. Father, we just lift Lana up to you. Lord, she is a precious gift. And I lift her parents up to you, that you give them knowledge and wisdom. And that, Lord, she will know you at an early age, and she'll be filled with the power of your Holy Spirit. And she's already got her arms up praising you, Lord, and I like that. So, Father, bless her, watch over their family. Lord, I also know that Alex and Alec are going to be moving very soon. And, Lord, we love them. They're just a precious family that you brought here. You've worked in their lives, and they've worked in our lives. And Father, I ask you to go with them and to guide them, to direct them. And that, Father, you'll just pave the way for them and get them into an awesome body where they're moving in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome.
You did good, Mama.
She's comfortable up here. I like it. Awesome. God bless you guys. I love you guys. Here you go. Here's her certificate. Okay, if you have your Bibles, we are in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read the 2nd through the 7th verse. And so I will begin. The Apostle Paul writes to the Philippians, and he says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Father, bring your Holy Spirit to make this scripture reality in us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're following in your outline, the first point, Paul heard that Yodia and Syntyche disagreed about something. It's interesting to me, this is the only place we see these two ladies' names. And we know that they disagreed about something. Can we stop for a minute and say, isn't that peculiar that two people in church didn't get along? It brings us right to today, doesn't it? We have no clue what was going on, what the disagreement was. Maybe they disagreed on what to cook for the picnic after the service. Maybe they didn't like the way the chairs were arranged. Maybe they both wore the same outfit to church. It doesn't say. But the Apostle Paul was so concerned about it, and we're going to see why in a little bit, that he said to the person he wrote to, he said, please help them be of the same mind. Help them agree. Now, your second point, Yodia and Syntyche disagreed about a disputable matter. It was a disputable matter. Turn to somebody and say, how do we know that? I'm glad you asked. We know that because Paul says, when he's writing a letter, he says, their names are in the book of life. You see, if it was an important matter, like Jesus being the Son of God, or Jesus dying on the cross, or Jesus rising from the dead, or Jesus being seated at the right hand of God the Father, Paul would not have said, they were my co-workers, and their names are in the book of life. When Paul has someone that's teaching wrong doctrine, he will always call it out. He would call it out. That's not what this is about. They're having a disagreement about a disputable matter. Now, I have a question for all of you. Is your name in the book of life? See, we can't pass by it without bringing it up this morning. Revelation 3, verse 5 says this, the one who is victorious will like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. If your name is brought up to Jesus, today would he say, Dad, I've never heard of them? Or would he say, Dad, they're one of ours? I remember a long time ago when I opened my heart to Jesus and I was saved. I was going to a prayer group in a Roman Catholic church, and God brought a Baptist man to disciple me. And after I accepted Jesus, I went to him and I said, do I have to sign up anywhere? And he laughed at me. And then he gave me these scriptures and he said, Dave, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Revelation 20 and verse 15 says, anyone whose name was not found written in the Book of Life was thrown into the lake of fire. Tell somebody you can't swim in a lake of fire. You see, I want you to see, church, how serious this is. Your name must be written in the Book of Life. And when Paul speaks of these two ladies, he says their names are in the Book of Life. That's how important they are to Paul. Paul was going to spend eternity with these two ladies. Stop and think for a minute. You're going to spend eternity with the rest of the Christians in this room. I can feel the emotion in this room right now. Your next point, Paul asked the unidentified recipient of his letter to help his friends reconcile. I almost wore my referee's shirt today. How would you like to have that task? Can you get these two ladies to agree in the Lord? I don't know. And Paul thought it was so important to the church. He thought it was so important to the church that he wrote it in his letter and said, please help these ladies agree. Let's take a little side note. Women held a prominent role in the Philippian church. Whenever I say that, people think about the Apostle Paul saying, women should be quiet in church. Boy, do I get in trouble for that. But women held a prominent role. In Acts 16, when Paul and his men that he was working with, Luke the physician, they were traveling into Philippi. They went down by a river and they met a group of ladies. Does anybody remember that? They were there for a time of prayer, and it says Lydia and her friends were there, and they believed what Paul said when he preached the gospel, and they were baptized. Then Lydia said, if you consider me to be a Christian, come to my house and stay at my house. And it says she convinced them. And so the church began in a lady's house in Philippi. Women held an important role in the church. I want to read a paragraph from a book that Matt gave me about what women did in the New Testament. Turn to somebody and say, someone's going to be shocked. Are you ready? Here's what it says. Mary was influential with Jesus and James and gave to Luke crucial information for writing the gospel. Junia, that's a name you might want to look up, J-U-N-I-A, was an apostle. I'm going to stop for a minute while you take that in. Some theologians tried to change that name to a name that could be a man's name, but it didn't work. She was an apostle who was involved in missionary work. Priscilla taught Bible and theology alongside her husband. Phoebe financially supported the Apostle Paul in his ministry and carried the letter to Rome and helped to explain its contents as Paul prepared for his Spanish mission. What did women do? They were influential. They were a source of stories about Jesus. They were church planters. They were teachers. They were benefactors and interpreters of Paul's letters. Ladies, if you're in here today, you are valuable to the body of Christ. And the enmity that the enemy tries to bring between you and men or between you and anyone should stop in the name of Jesus. They were valuable. If you're following in your outline, the disagreement between Yodia and Syntyche was robbing the church of peace and power. It robbed the church of the peace and the power that God has for the church. I'm going to give you an example. On the farm, every morning, we would all milk cows together, my brother, my dad, and I. And we would plan out what we were going to do for the day. One of us was going to cut hay. One of us might haul manure. Another one would take another task. And then we would spend a half hour to 45 minutes arguing over who got to drive which tractor. You know what happened while we were arguing? Nothing. When I got saved, I'll never forget the first time I did this. We decided what we were doing, and I said to them, pick your tractors, I'll take the one left over. And they just stopped and looked at me like, come on, let's argue. Let's fight. And I said, no, I'll take whichever one's left over. Let's get to it. Let's get the work done. Listen, church. We argue over the silliest things while people are dying and going to hell. We could look at this letter and pass over Paul trying to make peace between these two sisters, and we would be wrong to do it. It was robbing the church of power and of peace. I want to use a sports analogy. You know that lately, if there's a dispute over a call, a disagreement, now we have instant replay review. It's in basketball. It's in football. It's in baseball. And for our Spanish congregation, it's in the other football that we call soccer. And you know what happens? I want to quote one of my favorite baseball announcers, Steve Stone. He's an announcer for the White Sox. My Cubs lost him. They should have kept him. This is what he said. The most boring shot in baseball. Nine players on the field doing nothing, a potential batter doing nothing, and three guys listening in headphones to see if the call was right or wrong. Nothing happens. The game stops. Time to get a hot dog. Run uptown for a pizza. Everything quits. It goes on in the church today. We have disagreements over the silliest things, and all the fruitful ministry gets held up. Paul says, help these two ladies have the same mind in the Lord. Your next point, the devil always sows discord in a healthy, growing church. Did you know that? The minute things start going well, the minute people get born again and open their hearts to Jesus and want to be discipled and get together and worship God, and here comes the devil. I can't believe they parked in my spot again. You know, Pastor, you walked past me three times this morning. You never said hi. You see? Exactly what I'm talking about. You know? What did I do? Did I do something wrong?
Immediately, he'll try to sow discord. The farmer planted good wheat, and what did the enemy do? He came along, and he sowed seeds, tares, weeds. And it happens to us all the time, church. You might want to write this in your notes. A long disagreement equals more potential for sin. The longer two people are at odds with each other, the more gossip, the more people that take sides. And God will try to, will have a hard time to come in there and to move because the people are set against each other. There's enmity. In the Garden of Eden, God said, I'll put enmity between your seed and her seed, see. And the enemy loves to use it to make a church be paralyzed and no souls are won. No marriages are healed. No children are trained up. No discipleship goes on. Why? Well, because they were upset over this issue. It's time this morning, church, to get back to being productive and fruitful. I want to give you a barnyard analogy. Are you ready? In the morning before the sun would come up, I would walk into my cow barn, and there were 114 cows in that barn. And when it was dark, I wouldn't turn the light on. I just love this part of farming. And I would walk in, and before I would turn the light on, if I could hear all the cows chewing their cuds, I couldn't see them, I could hear them. And I still have the sound in my ears today. And I would say, God, we're making milk today. I can hear it. If I walked in and there was a sick cow or somebody was hollering or there was a loose cow or if there was a pipe broken, I couldn't hear it and I knew we were in trouble and I had to get to work to straighten it out so we could bear fruit and be productive. What does God hear in our church today, Mount Zion? Are we agreeing? Are we productive? Are we bearing fruit? Are more people coming to know Jesus? Are more people being discipled? Are we in fellowship, taking care of each other? You see, the schism in the body will stop them. Look at your next point. The path to peace and power is in verses 5, 6, and 7. In my Bible, there's a break, like he's starting another thought. But I believe in context, he's telling this brother or sister who is supposed to reconcile Euodia and Syntyche what he should do. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. In your notes, I've written, rejoice in your salvation. When was the last time you thanked God for saving your soul? You see, every morning we should wake up and say, thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross to forgive my sins because I am saved. I woke up this morning and it was raining and I thought, I don't like riding my motorcycle in the rain, but I want to ride it. I rejoiced anyway. And then I thought on the bright side, there'll be plenty of water for the baptism today. Somebody said, what if it rains? We're going to be wet anyway. Come on out. Rejoice in your salvation. I pray, church, you would start every day and thank Jesus for dying on the cross for you, that your name is written in the book of life. That's enough to dance on your chair about. So rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in your salvation. Second, be willing to forgive and reconcile. Are you willing?
See, Yodia and Syntyche had to be willing, one of them at least had to be willing, to sit down at the table and talk it over. Look at what it says in verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. First of all, do you behave like Jesus could come back this afternoon? Before I'm done with my second hot dog this afternoon, he could come back. Do you live that way? And then it says, let your gentleness. That word gentleness, it's a peculiar Greek word. And it's so hard to explain. I've read all these commentaries, and they have such a difficult time, and they admit it. They say it's hard to explain. But what the word means is you are willing to forgive even if the person doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Aren't you glad you came to church? You know what it says to me? It says you are willing to be like Jesus, and you're willing to give grace and mercy to someone even though they don't deserve it. Now, how does that work in the body of Christ today? You see, we can't give up the truth. We have to hold God's truth. Amen? What's wrong is wrong. Sin is sin. But if you let your gentleness be evident to everybody, then you won't hate the sinner. That sinner will know you love them and that you care about them and that you want to help them to come closer to God, walk away from sin, and you will welcome them and say, I can find you forgiveness with Jesus Christ. I can forgive you, and we will help you to get on the same page as God. Isn't that what he says to Yodia, or about Yodia and Syntyche? He says that they would have the same mind in the Lord. Isn't it interesting how the Holy Spirit says it? The Lord is still on the throne. What's right is right. Have them agree in the Lord. Now, church, if we are going to see souls saved, we have to let our gentleness be known to all people we run into. If we correct, we need to correct in love. If we're rejected, we have to be like Jesus. We still love. Is everybody listening? It's much easier just to say, I'm done with that person. Then who's going to help them if you're finished? Paul writes to somebody in the Philippian church and he says, please help these two women. How? Rejoice in your salvation and be gentle. Show them that there's forgiveness. Show them a way. What does Jesus say? Blessed are the peacemakers. Did you notice? He didn't say, blessed are those who cause division in the church. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall inherit the earth. Be a peacemaker. So number one, rejoice in your salvation. Be willing to forgive and reconcile. And listen to the next one. Pray in every situation. Now, I hope you're taking notes. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. I want to take something out of our vocabulary. Are you ready? Well, all I can do is pray. Don't we hear that all the time? Well, the doctor said this, and they said this, and the banker said, you don't qualify for a loan. And people come all the time, and they say, I guess all we can do is pray. And I'm like, no, don't say it. He's a miracle worker. He makes blind eyes see, deaf ears hear, dumb lips speak, lame limbs leap. All we can do is pray. We have men that pray. We have groups of women that pray. We have groups praying I don't even know about. Charles Spurgeon, when he was teaching his students, he said to his students, I'm going to take you into the boiler room. They said, Mr. Spurgeon, we came to learn from you how to preach the gospel. We don't want to see the boiler room. He said, you're coming to the boiler room with me. And they resisted, and he said, you have to come with me into the boiler room. And when they got into the boiler room, it was filled with people interceding for the service that was about to take place. He's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. See what we were singing today. The bigger the problem, the bigger opportunity it is for God to work a miracle. And the church can't sit on her hands and go, well, you know, I guess all we can do is pray, Pastor. I'll just go home and I'll pray. Before you get home, your problem could be solved. Who's honest with God? Anybody here? Don't raise your hand if you're not honest. He'll get you. Be honest with God. Here's how honest I am with God. I say, Lord, I have no clue what to do. But Lord, I'm asking you to help me. And sometimes before I get to the two people who are having a fight with each other, God already solved it. And I go, Lord, I can't believe you fixed that without even asking me. But I asked him, prayer. Chaplain Larry and I have officiated at so many funerals. And when he's officiating at a funeral and I'm at the funeral, I always sit off to his left usually. And after the funeral, he says to me, Dave, I could hear you praying. And he said, I sure needed prayer. When I'm officiating at a funeral and Chaplain Larry is in the audience, I know what he's doing. He's in the back and he's interceding for me, praying. And he's saying, Lord, give him words of life to speak in light of a death. And the Apostle Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, he says, but in every situation, with prayer and supplication, he says, with thanksgiving in your heart, because now you suddenly are tuned in with the Lord of Lords and with the King of Kings. And Jesus says, Dad, can you hear it? That's one of ours, and he's coming to us for help. And how can we refuse, Dad? And he'll touch your heart, and he'll move a mountain. Pray in every situation. Church, don't stop praying. I don't know if you're ready for this. God keeps telling me, so I have to say it. Democrats and Republicans could get along if we'll pray. Did you hear it? People tell me, oh, there's no hope for this nation. And did you hear what they said? Pray, church. Come on, they blamed the last elections on us anyway. Come on, let's pray. Let's say, Lord, put your person in power. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, Republican nor Democrat. Bears fan or Packers fan? Come on, I knew I'd get a connection here somewhere. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray that we would become peacemakers. And that, Lord, the peace and the power would return to the body of Christ. That, Lord, we would truly rejoice in our salvation. And that our gentleness, our willingness to forgive, our willingness to show mercy, our willingness to show the path to Jesus that will set those in bondage free would be apparent to everyone. that people in town would say, go to Mount Zion and you will find peace. And there's help there because they know the Savior. And Father, I pray that we would be a praying church. That, Lord, we would not say, all I can do is pray. Instead, we would say, we are going to pray and expect God to move. Father, I pray for healing today in this church family. If anyone is upset with anyone in here, there would be reconciliation in the name of Jesus. And that we could have the mind of Christ together and we could work for God's kingdom. Lord, I lift up marriages today. That the enmity between a husband and wives would stop in the name of Jesus. And that we would love one another as Christ loves the church. Lord, heal our marriages today. And Father, for our families, I pray that children and their parents could get along and that siblings would get along. That it would start at home and that we would model life with Jesus, with those we love and the ones we're closest to. Lord, I would ask today that if anyone in here doesn't know you, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, they would be reconciled to you this very day and they would be forgiven. And they would pass from light or from darkness to light, and their names would be written in the book of life. And they would escape the lake of fire. Father, I ask you to take your word today and let it accomplish what you've sent it to do in each of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you need prayer, we're here. We want to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If not, remember the baptism up at the beach in Lake Geneva. Go in peace to be peacemakers. God bless you.